Welcome to another episode of the SaaS Podcast. I'm your host, Omar Khan, and this is the show where I interview proven founders and industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights to help you build, launch, and grow your SaaS business. Today's interview is with Patrick McKenzie. Patrick is the founder of Calzomia Software. He's best known for two software products, Bingo Card Creator and Appointment Reminder, both which he's bootstrapped. Patrick's also a well-known blogger, and he's joining me today from his home in Tokyo, where it's currently 3 a.m.
Is your team struggling with spreadsheets that can't keep up with your workflows? It's time to switch to JotForm Tables. JotForm Tables is an all-in-one workspace that lets you collect, organize, and manage data seamlessly. Not only can you create online forms to gather data directly in JotForm Tables, but it also serves as a powerful tool to manage and analyze the data collected from your existing JotForm forms. You can also import spreadsheets or enter information manually, and all your data is stored securely in one place. JotForm Tables makes collaboration a breeze. You can share your tables with a single click and work with your team in real time. Say goodbye to version control issues and hello to efficient teamwork. Get started with JotForm Tables for free today at sasclub.io/jotform. That's sasclub.io/jotform. Are you looking to sell your online business or buy one to start your entrepreneurial journey? Discover exciting opportunities with Bupos.com. Bupos is the number one platform for buying and selling profitable online businesses and the first to offer built-in acquisition financing for qualified buyers. At Bupos.com, you can explore their exclusive listings, browse listings from other marketplaces, or submit your own deal for approval. Bupos can offer pre-approved financing for recurring revenue businesses, allowing you to access fast funding with no personal guarantees. And their experienced M&A advisory team supports you every step of the way. To learn more, visit sasclub.io/Bupos. That's sasclub.io/BOOPOS. Sign up today and get qualified to sell your business or find your next deal. Hey, are you struggling to grow your SaaS business? As a SaaS founder, you know that having the right tools is crucial for growing your SaaS business effectively. But with so many options, choosing the best ones for your needs can be overwhelming. That's where the SaaS Toolkit comes in. This handy guide covers the 12 essential types of tools you need to supercharge your growth. Inside, you'll find a detailed look at tools successful SaaS startups have used to scale to seven figures and beyond. It gives you specific examples and makes practical recommendations to help you choose the right tools for your SaaS business. Don't miss out. Visit thesaastoolkit.com to download your free copy and unlock faster growth for your SaaS business. That's thesaastoolkit.com.
Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Omar. Howdy-ho, everybody.
Now, before we get started, I think you should probably explain why you're doing this interview with me at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Why I'm doing it at 3 a.m. in the morning? Well, mostly the time zone difference. Why I'm willing to do it at 3 a.m. in the morning? I really, really love talking to smart people about software. It's my business, it's my job, but it's also my hobby. So I generally solicit opportunities to, you know, do anything I can to talk about this stuff. It's one of the reasons my website has a standing invitation. If anybody is ever out in the Tokyo region, I will literally like buy coffee just to have an excuse to talk about this. Otherwise, I get crippling social loneliness from being the only software person within a quite a wide radius where I used to live. And in Tokyo, there's more software people, but less who are quote unquote like us, you know, doing their own thing as opposed to working at a big megacorp.
So when you moved into Tokyo, did you get a lot more people taking you up on your offer?
Yep. I've been thinking, you know, prior to moving to Tokyo, I was a little worried because the population is probably two orders of magnitude bigger than Ogaki, which is the small town in Japan I used to live in. And I thought, wow, if I'm doing a meeting every day, I might have to walk it back a little bit. But it's been heavy but manageable so far. So knock on wood, I'm going to, you know, try to keep doing it.
So while we're on the subject of talking to smart people, one of the guests that I had on a while back, and I can't remember which episode it was Paras Chopra, the founder and CEO of Wingify, the makers of Visual Website Optimizer. And Paras told a great story of how, you know, he quit his job and he bootstrapped this business. And he had a very, very modest goal. I think at the time he just wanted to be able to generate $1,000 a month from this business to cover the salary he was getting from his previous job. And, you know, to date, he's turned that into a seven-figure, multi-million-dollar business. And he credited you as being one of the people that were key to helping him in the early days figure out what product to build. So I think that alone was a great story. And so tell me a little bit about how you got involved with him. And mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day, I really love Paras. He's one of my favorite entrepreneurs, certainly my favorite software person from India. He's done an incredibly successful business over the years, and it's a product that I really love and is genuinely useful. Way back in the day when I was, my business was a little smaller than it is right now, I had been blogging for a while about Bingo Card Creator and blogging about doing A-B testing for it. And Paras dropped me a line one day and he says, "Hey, I'm an engineer in India. I'm thinking of doing an analytics software called Wingify, and you seem to be like the analytics guy. So can I run it by you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure. But right now is my busy season, October. So can't do it right now." But he pings me again 2 weeks later and he says, "Okay, if your busy season is over, I still have this thing to run by you." And he was pleasantly persistent like that for probably about a month until I installed the tracking code on my website and actually, you know, tried to put it through its paces. And I came back to him, you know, 2 weeks later and said, "All right, I never wanted to discourage any entrepreneur from doing what they want to be doing, but I do know a little bit about this analytics thing. And I've taken a look at your product and here's my honest feedback, because I think you need to hear it. This doesn't do anything better than Google Analytics does, and they're already giving that away for free. So it would be very hard for me to see a path forward for this business right now." And at the time, it did like 15 things. And he said, "Well, I'm going to do a 16th thing, and then, you know, that feature will be the thing that makes it." I said, "Well, rather than being a collection of 16 things that are all, you know, executed at like a C minus, I would really prefer it to be like a business that did one thing at A plus that I could recommend it over Google Analytics for." And it turned out the 16th thing was, which he showed me a week later, was Visual Website Optimizer. And as soon as he said that, as soon as he showed me that, like within a minute of seeing the interface, I said, "You should forget about the other 15 features and just sell this as a standalone product." And then the same day, I emailed a bunch of my buddies and said, "Visual Website Optimizer is going to make this chap a millionaire." And I was right.
That is a great story.
Yeah. So I went around the next 2 months. I banged down every SEO store I knew and said, "Hey, you've been using Google Website Optimizer to do A-B testing. You and I both know that Google Website Optimizer is a terrible product and you're only using it because you're free. I have an invite code to this thing called Visual Website Optimizer. It will blow your brains out. No, wait, that's not actually English. It will impress you very much. You should use this now." And I think I probably gave away 50 accounts of that, paid accounts, if I remember right. I was like basically a sales rep because I love the product so much.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Paras really appreciated the help that you gave him. All right. So we like to kick things off with a success quote to better understand what drives and motivates our guests. Do you have a favorite success quote?
So I went to Adlai E. Stevenson High School, and they have a quote that's on the wall attributed to Stevenson, who's an American politician. I don't know if he actually said it, but it said, how does it go? "We are what we habitually do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit." And that sticks with me, particularly as the, you know, arc of entrepreneurship lasts many, many, many years. And there's never a silver bullet like a, you know, "I'm going to do one A-B test," or "I'm going to release one product," or "I'm going to have this one sales conversation, and then that's suddenly going to flip the switch on this business." It's just, you know, a long, very, you know, enjoyable journey, but at times it's just a slog, and you got to like wake up on Thursday and do the work, and then wake up on Friday and do the work, and then wake up the next week and do the work. And then, you know, a year later, you suddenly look back at the last year and, oh goodness, there's, you know, something on the graph. But it's very rarely the case that, you know, there's just a, like one, you know, magic bullet decision that fundamentally changes the business.
Now, your first product was Bingo Card Creator, which I believe has generated over $300,000 in revenue since you launched. Mm-hmm. And I think it was also what helped you to quit your job and start working full-time on your software business.
Yeah.
Are you still working on that product today?
So Bingo Card Creator is pretty firmly end of life at the moment. The product still exists. People can buy it. It might sell $1,000 over the next 2 days, thanks to Valentine's Day. But the only work that gets done is by my virtual assistant in the Philippines, who answers tier one technical support questions. If there's something she can't handle, it gets escalated to me and I handle it, but very little gets through her these days. So I am focusing for the moment on Appointment Reminder, which is my second software product.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Can you give the listeners a better understanding of exactly what Appointment Reminder is, and who are the target customers that you're going after here?
Sure. So Appointment Reminder does automated phone calls, SMS messages, and emails to remind clients of the appointments that they have with professional services businesses. And the question is, what's a professional service business? Basically, it's someone who they have a defined schedule, and when things don't happen according to that schedule with regards to meeting with their clients, the business suffers substantial economic damage. So when I was thinking of Appointment Reminder back in the day, I thought, oh, I can sell this to massage therapists and to hair salons. And it turns out that massage therapists and hair salons, they have appointment books, and many of them have an appointment system, meaning, they ask their clients to make an appointment in advance of dropping in. But if a client fails to show up for their appointment, they're a little annoyed, but they just, take out their cell phone, play Angry Birds for 15 minutes, a walk-in comes in, and really no harm done. But many other businesses that have appointment books, like, say, trades businesses, an HVAC contractor, somebody who, repairs furnaces for a living, they have catastrophic events happen to them when somebody misses an appointment. For example, if an HVAC contractor gets locked out of someone's home for repairing their furnace, that typically means that three people just spent 30 minutes in a van to drive out to someone's house. They got locked out. They then drive back to the business. So the business owner loses 3 hours worth of wages at a professional rate. Plus, they often lose the sale of that furnace repair, because when your furnace is broken, you need it fixed PDQ. And if the appointment doesn't happen, even if it's the homeowner's fault, the homeowner just, dials somebody else in the phone book and gets them there right away. So that can often be between on the low end, $400 or $500 of damage to the business, up into the, $2,000, $3,000 range. And there's, believe it or not, clients that have, even more riding on a single appointment.
So that's a really good lesson on finding a really painful problem that people have, and the difference between the hairdresser you described who... if an appointment, a client doesn't turn up, it's not the end of the world. Whereas for somebody else, it could be a bleeding neck kind of problem. And so how did you go about figuring that out?
Not one single bullet kind of thing. I actually launched Appointment Reminder thinking that it would be mostly targeting the low end of the market. I thought my... the biggest thing that my software was doing was making it at this. So there exist other solutions that do substantially similar things, and they typically start at $1,000 per month and are launched pretty much solely into the medical industry, because the medical industry is the lion's share of businesses which are prepared to pay $1,000 plus a month for this. I thought, okay, I'm going to make it radically cheaper. My core customer will be paying about $30 a month. And then that opens it up to everybody who has an appointment book. And so massage therapists and hair salons will be able to use this. And some of them did. But a couple months after launching, I was like looking at my, looking at the recent account signups and, just humming a few bars. It's like Bugs Be Gone, Exterminator, blah, 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 carpentry services, New England heating and ventilation, some other extermination firm, yada, yada, yada. And I just picked up the phone to one of the customers and I said, hey, it's Patrick. I founded the company that you use for appointment reminding stuff. I was wondering if I could just talk to the business owner for a minute. And I said, hey, Bob, can you clarify something for me? Recently, I've discovered a lot of exterminators using appointment reminder, and I don't quite understand why. Why do you use appointment reminder? And he said, oh, well, and he tells me the story about, well, if I get locked out of somebody's house, that means that I just spent, an hour in a van with two other guys who smell bad in a van of toxic chemicals. And then I go to the house, get locked out and make no money and then come back. And he's like, and that happens all the time in the trades businesses. I'm like, the trades businesses, that is like, that's the like magic thread that connects all these customers that I'm seeing. Woo. So trades makes up about 25% of our book of business right now. Medical is about 25%. Professional services like lawyers, accountants are about another 25%. And the remaining 25% is a grab bag of, you know, hair salons, massage therapists, tutors, random folks.
How long did it take you to build that first version of the product?
So let's see. I have very exact answers for this. I quit my day job on April 1st. I spent 2 weeks building a prototype version and showed that around to people in Chicago. And tell you that story in a second. And then I basically spent 6 months just burned out from my day job, so didn't do anything. And then I spent 6 weeks at hard charging to get the version 1.0 out the door to the state where it could actually take money. So total of 8 weeks to launch appointment reminder, I guess. The story about Chicago is interesting. I mocked up a 2-page demo and took it on an iPad around downtown Chicago. So I didn't know whether there was like a market for appointment reminder. So I had this idea, okay, it's going to be massage therapists and hair salons. I can't really, you know, cold call them from Japan, but as long as I'm going back to Chicago anyhow to see my family, I'll just put a bit of money in my pocket from the ATM and walk around the very nice section of the city. And I just walked into every hair salon and every massage therapist that I saw and said, hey, can I book a, you know, can I just do a walk-in for a 30-minute shoulder massage? Okay, we can do that. All right. So in lieu of the 30-minute shoulder massage, can I just talk about massage therapy for 30 minutes? Because I'm interested in the industry. Still happy to pay you. And I did that for 15 people and had, like a dozen conversations about how does the appointment system work here? Do you use a computer? Do you have a computer on the premises? Do you have no-shows? Are you vexed about your no-shows? Do you give people phone calls to remind them about their upcoming appointment? Who does that at the office? What doesn't work about that thing for you? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so let me level with you. I'm a software guy, and I have this thing on my iPad I'd like to show you. Can I ask you to take out your cell phone for a second? And then I would just type their cell phone number into this faked appointment screen on, you know, this 2-page demo. Like page one was typing your cell phone number, and page two was it showed your name here, literally your name here, was scheduled for an appointment 5 minutes after whatever the current time was. And then their cell phone would ring, and a young lady, a college student who was willing to record something on Fiverr for $5, said, this is your automated appointment reminder. Your appointment with Patrick is at 5 minutes from now, the computer would read. To confirm your appointment, press 1. And then I'd say, okay, you can press 1 on your cell phone now. And then as soon as they press 1 on their cell phone, my iPad would flash with, they confirmed the appointment. And I said, now if you had canceled the appointment, we would have sent you an email or SMS right away. And then you could reschedule that slot and not lose the revenue for it. And people were so mesmerized by the whole, like, wow, a computer is talking to me. That's awesome kind of thing that I would just plow right into. So this doesn't exist yet, but it will in 6 months. Would you be interested in using it when it exists? And then if they said yes, I just got their email address. And then I promptly lost all the email addresses a few months later. But I had enough proof points after a day of shoe leather over downtown Chicago that I thought, okay, there is certainly a market for this. And unfortunately, because a statistical distribution, my like selection strategy for who I was talking to was guaranteed to get me only hairstylists and massage therapists, that I was thinking like, okay, appointment reminder is going to be for hair salons and massage therapists for like the next 6 months as I was building it, which turned out to blow up in my face, but still glad I built it.
Okay. So I want to talk about the part about blowing up in your face. But before we do that, I think this is a great lesson for people listening out there. I mean, you know, we can all get caught up in this situation of, I want to build this product. I need to go and talk to people. I don't know how to reach them. And not everybody is as accessible as, you know, just walking down the street and walking into their business. But in this case, that was possible. And, you know, I assume you ended up spending, what, a couple of $100, a few $100 on this?
You'd be surprised. So I had budgeted $400 for the day. And only one person out of the 15 I talked to would actually take money for it. The others were just happy to have a tea with someone who would who was listening to them and cared what they had to say.
Wow. So you spent almost nothing.
Yeah.
You got to talk to 15 potential customers and, you know, got a ton of data and feedback in one day. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think, you know, we all get caught up in those excuses. And I think this is a great story that people should kind of remember. And whatever business you're in, figure out how you could do something similar. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. Okay.
Oh, thanks much. By the way, guys, I'm an introvert. I used to run a World of Warcraft raid guild, is how geeky I am. This is totally something you could do, even if you don't feel like, you know, a big go out and get 'em tiger sales guy. It's, you can do this for like a morning. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm a pretty introverted guy as well. And I hate the idea of just kind of going up to strangers and starting to talk to them. But one thing I found is the fear that you get thinking about talking to people is a lot worse than actually going and talking to them. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's almost like you have to just push yourself to do that first one. And then things tend to get a little bit easier after that.
Yep. And particularly for this kind of stuff, it's not a sales conversation. It's just you want to talk to someone about themselves. And people love talking about themselves and will do so at any excuse or provocation. So you're giving a lot of people exactly what they want. So it's you know, hey, you're a massage therapist? That's very interesting. I'm interested in massage too. Why don't you tell me a little bit about it? And then you just, you know, gently nudge the conversation in the direction you need it to go in. But like, it was hard getting out of some of the offices.
All right. So you mentioned something about blowing up in your face. And I guess, you know, even though this was a great example of how to get out there and talk to customers, I guess eventually you realized they didn't really care that much about mm-hmm. this problem.
Right. So what I eventually learned over the coming year or so was that the, how to put it, many massage therapists / hair salons, et cetera, are not exactly run in a very business-oriented manner. Like, they're businesses, but they're not run super professionally. There's no one whose job it is to, you know, take a look at the metrics for the business and make them better. And so if you're trying to sell something on, this will take the metrics for your business and make it better, that's sort of difficult. Also, and this is a thing that I did not think to ask about, you know, hair salons, but useful information if you're trying to sell to them. A lot of the people who are in a hair salon do not work for the hair salon. They have a business that is just them as an independent contractor, and they rent a chair from the hair salon for the day. And the hair salon often has some like protocol by which they, you know, parcel out walk-ins and like parcel out booked appointments to the various hairstylists on like a round robin basis. So it's like literally no skin off their nose if somebody doesn't come in or they come in on time or not. Just like, oh well, you know, I'll get the next walk-in that comes in anyhow, or I won't, based on whatever my position in the round robin is. So they just don't care. And not caring about the core value proposition makes it rather difficult to sell things.
Do you think you could have done anything differently when you were talking to these hairdressers to figure that out sooner?
So I had my rough list of things that I wanted to, things that I wanted to ask them about. And it was largely things that I thought I needed to ask rather than the things that I actually needed to ask. What probably would have, served me pretty well is leaning on like one person. Like, I don't happen to know a hairstylist off the top of my head other than, well, the lady who cuts my hair. But, you know, find one person within like 6 degrees of social separation for me and just ask to shadow her for a day. And then I would have figured that out like really freaking quick.
That's but, great.
You know, minor missed opportunity.
All right. Now, one thing I know about you with the appointment reminder is that for some time you weren't really very excited about this business.
Yep.
And why is that?
So this is my single biggest challenge for appointment reminder. So I think we're mutually friends with Peldy from Balsamic. Great guy, very talented software entrepreneur.
He is.
I was talking to him about appointment reminder a few weeks before it launched at a conference. And I was saying, this is going to be great. It's going to use Twilio integration. I'm going to be able to charge customers X and Y and Z. And it's going to decrease their no-show rates. It's going to be fantastic. He says, Patrick, stop for a second. Is what you want to spend the next 5 years of your life on optimizing the scheduling at dentist offices? I said, no, of course not. I don't care about the scheduling at dentist offices, but this is a really great business. He's like, stop now. You're clearly not passionate for this. Do something you love. And I did not listen to his advice. That was a mistake. So a lot, like for 4 years running now, I've declared that, okay, this is finally going to be the year that appointment reminder is going to be my number one thing. I'm going to pursue it to the, you know, it's going to be like my number one business priority. I'm going to, you know, do great things on the marketing side, make new features, get in front of more customers, finally get the growth that this business clearly has, you know, hiding within it somewhere. And for 4 years running, it's been like anything else can distract me from appointment reminder. Because honestly, at the end of the day, like, I love my customers. Don't get me wrong. They're the reason my family can afford to live in this apartment. But I don't like love, you know, keeping appointment books for dentist offices. Like, that's not, you know, doesn't feel like the reason I'm on this earth. Like, not something I'm passionate about. Like, I'm passionate about, you know, talking to smart people about software, for example. And so there's been a lot of things that needed to happen for appointment reminder, which happened literally years after they needed to happen, just because, like, it's like, oh man, it's going to be a slog for 2 weeks. I think I'll go play League of Legends. And I had some better excuses there too. Like, I, you know, in the interim, I met my wife, married her, had a daughter. So, you know, all those are totally legitimate reasons to not be working, slammed out style. But I did a lot of work over the intervening 4 years too. It was just for, you know, things that were not appointment reminder, like alphabetized my book collection. I played League of Legends. I think I wrote probably literally more than a million words on Hacker News. And then, you know, absolutely anything would like bump the work that had to happen off the stack, just because it was like, oh God, I don't want to be HIPAA compliant. That's going to suck. BTW guys, HIPAA, I can never pronounce it. Would probably be able to pronounce it if I cared. HIPAA compliance, not nearly as hard as you think it's going to be. You just like block off 2 weeks on the schedule and boom, you're done. And it took me like 3 years to figure out, you know, blocking off 2 weeks on the schedule and then adding a notification about that to my website. Like, that's crazy. So yeah, that's probably my number one historical thing that's kept appointment reminder from being what it could be.
Are you an entrepreneur looking to buy a profitable online business or a founder ready to sell? Bupos is the number one platform for buying and selling profitable online businesses. With their exclusive listings, as well as listings from other marketplaces and the option to submit your own deal for approval, Bupos has you covered. Plus, they're the first to offer built-in acquisition financing for qualified buyers of recurring revenue businesses, allowing you to access fast funding without personal guarantees. And their experienced M&A advisory team supports you every step of the way. To learn more, visit sasclub.io/Bupos. That's sasclub.io/BOOPOS. Sign up today and get qualified to start your entrepreneurial journey or sell your business at the right valuation with Bupos.com.
So why did you keep going with it? I mean, I guess a lot of people would have not only got distracted, they would have probably forgotten about it.
So can't forget about it, because as long as you have at least one paying customer, you're like committed to them. Also, appointment reminder is very business critical. We might talk about that in a little bit. So like if it goes down in the middle of the night, that's catastrophic for somebody. Theoretically speaking, it's catastrophic for me, but like this would actually damage people's businesses. They rely on it, on these reminders getting out at the right times. So I had to, put in a continuous effort on like the engineering side of things. And that made it, it was in that weird twilight where I wasn't putting in the work that it needed to grow, but I also couldn't ignore it. And one of the reasons that, it was like easy to back burner for the longest time was like, if you've ever heard the expression long, slow SaaS ramp of death, which was by the Gail Goodman, did this presentation about Constant Contact. And basically, we have this impression from reading the media that successful SaaS businesses have a growth curve that looks like a hockey stick. But most businesses don't get the hockey stick. What they instead get is the eponymous long, slow SaaS ramp of death, where your MRR grows very, very slowly and linearly over time until you start to figure things out. And so, a year and a half into the business, after I've poured in I don't know how many hours and significant amounts of brain sweat and whatnot, it was making like $1,500 a month of MRR or something. And at the time I was doing consulting, and a 2-week consulting engagement was worth $60,000. And so, I get the check from a consulting engagement. I'm a little exhausted, but very happy with how it worked out. It was, a very intellectually stimulating exercise for me. And I've got a check for 60 grand in my hand, which is more than I made in 2 years at my old day job, and was feeling fantastic. And it's like, great, what do I do for the next 2 weeks? I can either work on appointment reminder a little bit and increase the monthly recurring revenue by $100, or I could play League of Legends. And League of Legends happened. I got pretty good at that game, but did not grind up on the business nearly as well.
Now, you mentioned that appointment reminder really is mission critical for many of your customers. Mm-hmm. What kind of challenges did you face with that over the last few years?
Sure. Let me tell you the anecdote of the single worst day I've ever had in business. Both from the perspective of this is funny that we can laugh about it 3 years later. And also, if this is as bad as life gets, life isn't all that bad, although it felt like it at the time. I was moving apartments. And so because I was silly when moving apartments, my cell phone managed to get packed up in one of the boxes. And my cell phone gets all the monitoring alerts for appointment reminder for things like, the servers are down or the queue workers are down. The queue workers are the part of the system that actually sends out the appointment reminders. So they have to be up. And stupidly, I decided right before, packing my cell phone up for the apartment move, I think I'm going to, try to get a little work done today. I'll just add one little a check for an error case in my queue worker a class. And that check for an error case made the queue workers unable to boot, but only after they went down once. So they went down randomly later in the evening after I was ensconced in my new apartment. And the computer immediately started complaining to my cell phone, which was off and in a box.
Wow.
And so several hours later, I just woke up with just an unaccountable feeling of unease. Like, I wonder if I'm forgetting something. maybe I'll pull out my Kindle here and check my email. And my email has exploded from people wondering what the heck happened to their appointment reminders today. I'm like, oh no. And I'm starting to like put together what series of events could possibly have happened. And I'm like, oh God, it must be that the queue workers are down. And so I maneuver from my Kindle to whatever the magic page I need to reset the queue workers. And I like reset them and I check to see that the queues are up, and they're up now. I'm like, okay, great, I'm done. I go to sleep. I spend the next day like partly unpacking, but I don't have my laptop out. And then I check my email. And my email was bad the day before, but it was now incredibly bad, because what I had not realized when I hit like the queue worker dot restart after they'd been down for 8 hours was every 5 minutes during that 8-hour interval, my computer said, "Have I called Kathy Smith yet? Oh, I haven't. Okay. add a call to Kathy Smith on the queue.
Oh my gosh.
So everyone who was supposed to get a phone call from appointment reminder got, 12 times 8 is like 96 phone calls.
Oh, my
all
God.
At once. And a typical residential phone doesn't really handle 96 simultaneous phone calls happening that well. They just like stack up and wait. So you can imagine my customers' phones are ringing off the hook. And every time they they hang up, I don't want any, hang up, they get another phone call instantaneously to the point where, so this happened to a few dozen people. They had to take their phone out of the wall to get it to stop ringing. So,
wow.
I find out about this because after the email has started in America, and, workday starts in America and people start coming into their appointments and tearing a new one to their doctors and whatnot. And so their doctors start, writing me emails, and I get the emails again on my phone that can't really do much at 3 a.m. Japan time. And I don't have internet in my new apartment yet. So I pack up my laptop and a space heater and walk. Oh, by the way, in the town I was living in at the time, there were no taxis that operated at 3 a.m. So the only place I knew that had internet working at 3 a.m. was my old apartment. So, which didn't have heat, and it was raining and in the middle of winter. And so I was carrying my laptop in one hand and a space heater in the other, walking across town for 45 minutes while feeling like the most terrible failure of an entrepreneur in the world, crying my eyes out. I get to my old apartment, plug in the space heater, plug in the laptop, and I just lost it. Because I knew what I had to do. I had to call up 60 people or, whatever the number was and apologize for that to them for, ringing their phone off the wall the other day and say, no, it wasn't Dr. Smith's fault. I'm the CEO of the company that made the 60 phone calls the other day. I'm the only person that was at fault here. I'm really sorry. If there's any way I can make it up to you, please tell me. And do that call 60 times in succession. And I got done with about two of them, got chewed out a little bit. Lost it again, had to call my father because I just could not continue. He gave me a nice little pep talk, and then I made another, 40 calls and then called in an evening. And I am the only person who remembers that day, aside from maybe people who had heard about it. We only ended up losing two customer accounts. One came back after they were satisfied for the way I dealt with it. Like their patients came in the next time and said, hey, I figured out what happened with that phone call thing. It was Patrick miskeyed something, but he seems to be a really stand-up chap. Totally no harm done.
Wow.
So was like, if I showed you my revenue graph right now, you couldn't tell what day it happened. Even if I showed you my phone graph right now, you couldn't tell what day it happens because we process more phone calls every morning at 7:32 a.m. than that entire day of blow up did. I'm glad it blew up early in the life of the business and not late in the life of the business. Because if we did 60 phone calls for every person we call on an average Monday these days, that would be, oh God, a lot of phone calls. Twilio would have a blockbuster quarter.
That is a great story, and it says a lot about you actually going and calling all those people up. Let's talk about the business today and what 2015 looks like. Now, you became a father recently, right? Your daughter was born when?
Daughter was born back in October.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Now, In one of your blog posts, you said that the birth of your daughter was the turning point for you in how you thought about an appointment reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Yeah.
Yep. In the run up to the birth of my daughter, I was thinking, okay, I have appointment reminders not where I want it to be. I want to both have it numerically in a place where I'm happy with it and where it can support my family without me having to, go out and do the consulting rainmaking dance once every year or without having to do additional products. And at the same time, I also need to get some of this off my plate because appointment reminder being rather mission critical, and sales in it only happening when I push the sales through myself, was not an unsustainable workload, but it was an unsustainable workload if you put it on top of being a new father. So I thought, okay, I've got to, you know, make the changes in the business as necessary to make this sustainable, both for myself and for the business. And so I thought, okay, I've been, you know, doing the software business basically by myself for the last 8 years. The closest thing I have to an employee is a single virtual assistant who works with me from the Philippines for, you know, probably less than an hour or two a week. All right. I need to have someone help on appointment reminder, on particularly the sales side of thing. And I need to get appointment reminder in a position where someone can actually execute on the sales. So how am I going to do that? I put on my thinking cap and figured out, okay, what am I?
Who is calling you at this time of the night?
That is a good question. It might be somebody. Oh, it's the, so I have given to the fire department in my hometown before, and they circulate my my number to all the other, semi-charitable organizations in the hometown. You get on one person's mailing list and they give it to everybody else. Anyhow, neither here nor there. It is not the appointment reminder or emergency line. Otherwise, yeah. we'd be cutting this one a little short. That, by the way, that is an actual thing. It used to have the ringtone. What's it called? The Wagner thing. Ride of the Valkyries. Dun, 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 dun.
Nice.
I swear, if I hear that tune now, I have like post-traumatic stress disorder. Neither here nor there. So sales. So I'm really good at automating things. I'm not, you know, a pick up the phone and have a really like chest bumping, you should really buy this today. And if you buy it by the end of the quarter, it'll be 25% less, blah, 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 kind of sales guy personality. So what works for me is, you know, being very connected to customers, exercising my engineering smarts in terms of like having cron jobs do a little bit of the sales, tying things directly into how the application works, but not so much on the like actual calling. So it's like, okay, I'm going to have somebody do the actual calling, and I'm going to have a CRM so that we can, you know, be on the same page for that. And then I'll have deep integration between the CRM and appointment reminder proper. So they get all the information they need to do their jobs, and from the customer's perspective, it seems like a seamless experience between using the app, having a person on the phone with them who knows exactly what they're going through and what the next steps are, and having features available for the sales rep / person doing customer onboarding to be able to onboard customers in like a minimally painful fashion. And so I built about half of that before my daughter was born, and my daughter showed up a little bit early. So I pushed the pause button on development for another 2 months, and then got back to work, banged out a lot of it. And so sales efforts started in earnest back maybe in like early January. And right now I'm, you know, looking back on the last month of it and starting to tweak knobs on, okay, this went well, this perhaps a little less well. Talking with my sales rep on what she needs to do her job better, and then getting that added to the business.
How much revenue are you doing at the moment with appointment reminder?
We just hit 7K MRR. So annualized, and you add in, so I've got a few enterprise accounts. The enterprise accounts are a little annoying because they're NDA'd. Let's say an enterprise account can be anywhere from like, you know, single digit thousands a year to, theoretically speaking, we could probably like service an account that paid 100,000 a year, but in practice, I've never actually signed one for 100,000. I think number, the largest enterprise account I've ever signed was 75,000 for a multi-year contract.
So are you doing over six figures with this business when you include all of that?
Yes, six figures. Say that.
And what is your, so from the 7K you're doing with the MRR right now, what's your goal for 2015?
So I'm trying to shoot for the end of quarter two. I want it to be up to 15K, which is it's on the aggressive side, but I think doable now that we have somebody who's actually doing sales work every day rather than just me passively responding to emails. So in the, doing the, you know, short-term SaaS cash flow deficit thing where this happens in a lot of SaaS businesses, but the, since the commission operated, commission earning Salesforce earns, let's say 3 months or 4 months of the revenue from a customer upfront as of, you know, the day that they sign up or like 30 days later, but then you actually like physically earn that 4 months of revenue over the next 4 months, right? So if somebody increases MRR by $1,000 in January, then that means I owe them whatever their base pay is plus, let's say 3.5 months times 1,000 is 3,500. So you can, you know, do the math of that versus 7K. That cuts it very close to the bone. But, you know, 6 months from now, then the magic of calculus takes over and the business is grossing a lot more than it would have been without the sales rep. So in that kind of like, it's a weird place for a bootstrapper to be. Like I'm doing this totally out of, you know, my own revenue / my own pocket rather than doing the traditional thing and, you know, taking, okay, I have a working sales process, a product which hundreds of customers use, I have non-trivial revenues and demonstrated capability to earn a $75,000 check with it. Okay, can you write me a check for $500,000 so I can hire 5 sales reps? But it's a, you know, fun challenge.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick, it's now time for our lightning round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and I'd like you to answer them as quickly as you can. Are you ready?
Sure thing.
All right. What's the best piece of business advice that you ever received?
Oh man, it's too late in the evening for me to do lightning. Best piece of business advice I ever received. Focus, focus, focus. So I've run a product portfolio for the last couple of years. It turns out probably not optimal. If I were doing it over again, I would try to have products which were more closely clumped together in terms of who they served. Also be more clumped against my interest rather than like all over the map.
What book would you recommend to our audience and why?
So it takes a little bit of tweaking for bootstrapped entrepreneurs, but read Predictable Revenue. It's about how to do an outbound sales operation, but there's a lot of stuff which is useful for inbound sales as well. And it's sort of the Bible at a lot of larger SaaS companies for a reason. It's about 4 times longer than it needs to be. After you feel like it's repeating itself, it is. You can stop reading it then, but that, like the 1/4 of the book that is repeated 4 times is freaking fantastic.
What's one attribute or characteristic in your mind of a successful entrepreneur?
Starting. The biggest difference from like the people I look at as my professional peers and the folks who, you know, come up to me and, you know, talk to me on like a once a year basis, but never have a business is that the, you know, all the successful entrepreneurs were willing to like, to use a dwarf fortress metaphor. Yeah. I'm a geek, strike the earth, like actually, you know, get out there, get in the market, get something in the hands of customers and start iterating on it.
What's your favorite personal productivity tool or habit?
Personal productivity tool. I really love Trello for the to-do lists and for like giving me that little dopamine burst that, okay, stuff is happening in the business clearly because like pixels are moving from the left side of the screen to the right side of my screen. Boom. Habit-wise, I check email only twice a day. I check it in the morning and then I check it once before I clock out for the day, whether that's clocking out to go to bed or clocking out to just, you know, have an evening with my family. If you leave your email client giving you desktop notifications all day long, it just, you know, drops you out of flow state too often.
If you had to start over tomorrow, what type of business, market, or problem would you want to go and tackle?
So I'm a software guy at heart, but rather than doing a SaaS business where the with like the traditional SaaS price points, you know, $29 to like $250 or $500 a month, I would probably be looking at something like a SaaS business on the low end that's closer to SaaS plus productized consulting on the high end, where it's basically a wrapper for at the start you, but eventually some other experts delivering the service. Great example of this is Bench, which is basically like a software wrapper around bookkeepers. The thing that I've been thinking of doing as my next gig, which probably won't happen, so feel free to steal this, is like SaaS pricing pages as a service, because I love SaaS so much. I know a lot about software, love talking to software people. I would be like, okay, at the low end, it'll just be, you know, a hostable page that will allow you to create, you know, really nice pricing pages and A/B test them against each other. Towards the middle end, like, I will be giving you advice about exactly what you should put on your pricing page. And at the high end, you give me back access to your backend database so I can create the plans, and I will be your like company's chief revenue officer. And that's going to run you, you know, $3,000 or $5,000 a month. And the reason I would do it that way is it takes an awful lot of time to hit like, you know, day job equivalent salaries if you're building that up $30 per customer. But it doesn't take an awful lot of time if you just got to, you know, go to three or four people you've worked with successfully in the past and say, hey, buy this 3K package for me. It'll be worth your while. So, you know, you would have like a built-in base of revenue, which is day job competitive as of, you know, a few weeks into running the business. And then you can build from there with both that to fall back on and that to reinvest into the business rather than having to go on the long, slow SaaS ramp of death.
What's an interesting or fun fact about you that most people don't know?
Interesting or fun fact about me that most people don't know. Blinking. So I play League of Legends. My favorite character is AD Jungle Evelynn. If any of you guys get that reference, high five. My name is Paulus on League. Drop me an invite anytime. I play a little less these days. I'm more of a family man than a gamer.
All right. And finally, what is one of your most important passions outside of your work?
I really think this gets too little attention in our community by a lot of people. So I always try to mention it. I'm very, very, very serious about being like a husband and father first and an entrepreneur like 30 second as compared to those two. And I think that's true of a lot of the entrepreneurs that I most admire. When I look around, I see, you know, there's an impression, if you read the magazines or read the internet, that the core of like the energy of entrepreneurship is 24-year-olds who are killing themselves and have not enough time to even take somebody out on a date. But when I look at the folks who are around me, spiritually speaking, it's folks with, you know, happy marriages, folks who are utterly devoted to their children. And, I want to just emphasize that A, that's totally doable. There's nothing about this line of work that says you have to sell your soul to get into it. And B, it's, you know, it's important. Like at the end of the day, 40 years from now, I'm not really going to care what the MRR for appointment reminder was as of, you know, Q2 2015. I'm going to care about, you know, my daughter's baby pictures and whether I've been a good father by her and a good husband by my wife. So, you know, try to optimize for that in the long run.
Awesome. Great answers. Patrick, I want to thank you for joining me today and sharing your experiences, insights, and thank you for letting us get to know you a little better personally as well. Now, if folks want to find out more about Appointment Reminder or they want to read your blog, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. If you want to see Appointment Reminder, it's at appointmentreminder.org or just Google Appointment Reminder. By the way, buy an ORG domain name for $8.95 instead of paying $30,000 for the .com name like the broker wanted. Works equally as well. If you want to email me, my email address is patrick@kalzumeus, KALZUMEUS.com. Also at my blog at www.kalzumeus.com. There's I don't blog quite so frequently anymore, but there's a it asks for your email address at the top of the screen. I send about one email a month out to my email list about making and selling software. It's some of my best work. I'm really, really happy with the way those essays turn out. So I'd recommend if this was interesting to you, get on that email list. Also, new announcements coming down the pike in like a month or so. So get on now while the getting's good.
All right. Awesome, Patrick. Thanks again for joining me today. I really appreciate you doing this, especially in the middle of your night. And I wish you continued success.
Yeah, thanks very much, Omer. I also wish you continued success. If there's ever anything I can do for any of you guys that would help you out with this, I've only achieved my little modest slice of a successful business because people have been very generous with their time with me. So if there's ever anything I can do, I want to help you guys out as well. Drop me a line.
That's great. Thank you. Cheers.
Are you still wrestling with rigid spreadsheets that slow down your team? JotForm Tables is a solution you've been looking for. JotForm Tables combines the power of a spreadsheet with the flexibility of a database. You can collect your data through customizable online forms, and JotForm Tables automatically organizes and stores all the data submitted through your JotForm forms. You can also import and export files and collaborate with your team effortlessly. All changes are synced in real time, so everyone is always on the same page. But JotForm Tables is more than just a spreadsheet alternative. With conditional formatting, data visualization, and more than 250 integrations, it's a complete productivity platform for your team. You can even automate tasks and workflows to save time. Ready to centralize your data, boost your team's efficiency, and take your productivity to new heights? Sign up for free at sasclub.io/jotform. That's sasclub.io/jotform. Do you dream of owning a profitable online business, or are you looking to sell yours? Bupost.com is the number one platform for entrepreneurs and founders alike. With Bupost, you can discover exclusive listings, browse listings from other marketplaces, or submit your own deal for approval. As the first platform to offer built-in acquisition financing for qualified buyers, Bupost makes it easier than ever to acquire a recurring revenue business without personal guarantees. Their experienced M&A advisory team is dedicated to supporting you throughout the process, ensuring a smooth transaction. Don't miss out on this exciting opportunity. To learn more, visit sasclub.io/bupos. That's sasclub.io/BOOPOS. Sign up today and get qualified to sell your business or find your next venture. Attention SaaS founders, are you determined to scale your B2B business to that coveted $1 million ARR milestone? I've got something that can help you get there faster. Introducing the SaaS Club newsletter, your weekly companion on the journey to SaaS success. Packed with proven strategies, practical insights, and exclusive interviews with B2B SaaS founders who've been where you are, this newsletter is your ticket to accelerated growth. Each week, in just 5 minutes, you'll gain access to a treasure trove of growth tactics, lessons learned, and insider tips to help you navigate the challenges of the early stages and scale your business to seven figures and beyond. So why wait? Become part of a 4,000 plus strong community of SaaS founders and entrepreneurs who are already harnessing these insights to drive their growth. Visit sasclub.io/newsletter and subscribe to the SaaS Club newsletter today. Gain the support and expertise you need to keep forging ahead on your SaaS journey.